Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 18th of April, Anno Domini 2015, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. I love this story. I couldn't wait to make it our first story of the week. The ever-heated battle over mobile ecosystems left two wounded fanboys yesterday. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, two roommates were hospitalized after a drunken fight about the relative benefits of Android and Apple phones. When the police arrived at the apartment complex, they learned that the roommates had been drinking and arguing over their mobile phones, according to a report from KTUL in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The report then includes the helpful addition that police did not respond when our photographer asked which phone is better. The roommates, Giro Mendez, I don't know how to pronounce that, and Elias Achevo, I don't know how to pronounce that, have non-life-threatening injuries from stabbing each other with broken beer bottles in this crime of OS-related passion. Police said they will be booked for assault with a deadly weapon once they are released from the hospital. Police said a third man was reported to have been drinking with the duo, but was gone by the time they arrived. Many questions linger, including, was this evasive comrade a Windows phone man? So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is stabbing over Android versus Apple. And your choices are Android, Apple, Windows phone, flip phone, something else, see poll discussion. So far, we have 13 votes, and Android is 14 votes, and Android has half of them, followed by flip phone. Boy, do I know our listeners. Followed by something else, and see the poll discussion. And then Apple's has zero, Windows Phone has zero. Of course, you can follow the discussion more closely and put in your two cents by joining us in the poll discussion. If you scroll down on the right-hand column, under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums right next to the books I've written. And then go there, and then poll discussion is the second one down. And then the top thing is stabbing over Androids. Apple has four posts, and you can join in that discussion pretty easily by clicking on that and then adding your stuff at the bottom. And then, of course, come back and join us as we talk about all kinds of things. And you can get in on the discussion by giving us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
It's kind of funny that almost every industry or, you know, every decision has these two diametrically, violently opposed views. Ford versus Chevy, Pirates versus Angels, Cowboys versus Steelers,
Right.
It's that all this rivalry, and you often, especially in European football, you often see,
the football hooligans.
Where the 100,000 people in a stadium all start fighting half and a half.
Yeah, right.
And the one poor guy that just likes both teams.
Yeah.
Well, you see that at football games too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
they just don't pan into it. I mean, once in a while they'll get caught.
But this is a new dimension.
Yeah, I mean,
geeks in general are not really that
violent.
Testosterone.
How many inhalers did they? Wait a minute, I got to do mine.
Well, like you say, normally that's sports and all that. Yeah, that's been going on for decades.
Right.
This is a whole new thing. Whole technologies. New,
yeah. Right. Our major method of exercise is flipping a wrist to see the phone turn on.
And especially the way the media has portrayed, you know, computer geeks. Yeah, you know, the you know, small
pencil, scrawny, pocket protector,
yeah, right. pocket protectors, asthma inhalers, which right. you know, I'm sure
the
there
glasses.
Are. There's those in every industry.
That's exactly right. And I also know a number of tech people who are very into sports and into exercise and you know, weightlifting and all kinds mm-hmm. of things. So
oh, yeah.
there's no, you know, the stereotypes are cute, but they're not
not anymore.
Real.
Not
who's,
anymore.
Who's your friend that is a rocket scientist, but she's a beautiful blonde and no one expects her to be? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am a rocket scientist.
We actually made a button for her that said that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She's drop dead gorgeous blonde blue eyed woman, very lovely lady, and. One day, just as a birthday prank, I made her a button that said, as a matter of fact, I am a rocket scientist. She couldn't stop laughing. She wears it all the time.
There was actually a t-shirt, because I go to rocket club launches.
Right.
The big national large dangerous rocket ships is in town this year again.
Excellent!
End of June out in Potter, other side of Canandaigua. But one year, their t-shirt, and I didn't get one because they ran out of my size, it said, as a matter of fact, it is rocket scientists, and they had the thrust propulsion mathematical formula. They had the payload mathematical. They had, you know, all these formulas that you need to know for actual rocket science. We just stick a bigger engine in it. See, if you do the math, you know what size engine to use, but just stick a bigger engine in it. If it blows up, it was too big. If it doesn't go high enough, it was too small.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Empirical rocket science, not three words you want to hear in the same sentence.
It was a learning experience.
Yeah.
Don't put an F motor into a 12-inch rocket.
You usually hear that in the emergency room.
Yeah. Hey, look at this.
Yeah. It starts with hold my beer.
Yep.
And it ends with it was a learning experience.
Yeah.
But if you have an Apple Watch or an Android, an Apple phone or an Android phone or a flip phone or a Windows phone or you know, whatever you've got, you BlackBerry users, I know you're diehards. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And explain to us why you love Carl from Pottstown is on the line. Welcome, Carl. What's up?
Hello. How are you today?
Peachy. How are you?
Okay. I have a question about super anti-spyware professional. I have it. I paid for it, but I don't trust it because every single time I run it, it finds exactly 43 problems. I ran it 3 times in a row, did nothing in between, just ran it 3 times in a row last night. Each time it found 43 problems. Every time I run it, it finds 43 problems.
Do you
so
clear
I'm just wondering
out those problems?
What's wrong.
Yeah, we have to ask, do you click the remove problems button or quarantine or whatever it says?
Oh yeah, every time. And
you know what it could be?
Goes across and
you know what,
it says something like problems fixed or it, then every time I do that, yeah.
What it could be though, Carl, is this happened with another version of Windows. I believe it was Windows XP. No matter what you ran, there were certain programs running within Windows. Most of the software thought it was an issue. And it's really not. And it could be the same thing with Windows 7. You know, there's things running, and this software thinks they're issues. And
yeah, false positives.
Yeah, false positives, and they're really nothing to worry about. As long as it's consistent on the 43, then that seems to tell me, because before, with Windows XP, it was like 7 of them. And every time you ran Windows, it didn't do anything else. You'd run it again, and these same 7 errors would show up.
Do you know what... offhand, what the name of what it's finding?
Oh, no, I'd have to go through it again. I haven't paid attention.
Yeah.
It could be something that is buried so deep into the registry that Super Anti-Spyware can't remove it. And you can try running it in safe mode or even try Malwarebytes, one of the other anti-spyware programs. Because sometimes some can remove things that the others can't. But
okay, yes, I run Malwarebytes all the time, so I'm familiar with that.
Yep. Yeah, the big difference between the free version and the pro version is that the pro version will automatically update, which is nice. And it's got real-time blocking that will stop the spyware from getting in the first place rather than just removing it after the fact. But that assumes you're starting with a clean system.
Now, as long as I have you on the phone, let me just ask you one more question. Other than Super Anti-Spyware and Malwarebytes, are there any other malware products that you would suggest?
There's a bunch of them, but...
Yeah, if you take a look, for example, at the Security Tango, at securitytango.com, those are among the ones, the anti-malware ones. We list, it's very slow today. We just list Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware. There are others that I just haven't had any experience with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm reluctant to add them to the Tango.
And you have to be really careful about the fake ones.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that claim, you see these ads, is your PC slow? Well, download our software. And you know, every download is free. And then it will find 1,000 issues and you better pay us to fix the problem. And so, some of those are actually legitimate programs that you can run, but some of them are fake programs that just steal your credit card information. So it's really tricky to know what are good and what are fake because there's so many out there, which is why we've pretty much settled on Super Anti-Spyware and Malwarebytes. Now, we've also had good luck, Dave. You've also with CC CCleaner.
Yeah, CCleaner works okay.
That's
yeah.
specifically but for system caches rather yeah. than actual
but
malware.
But like I say... key thing is that's why we recommend two, because there is no one product that will find them all. And we found the combination of those two products, you know, complement each other. Thus, that's why we stick with those two. They do very good jobs of updating constantly, you know, and staying on top of things. Unlike, you know, like if you were to go with Microsoft's Windows Defender, you know, that's about as handy as a screen door in a submarine. And, you know, so we stick with the ones that we know until something better comes up and pops up at me and I know we'll get along with another one. That's the key. I don't like to stick to just one. I usually like to have two. I'm greedy like that because I don't believe that any one system, you know, program can clean it all. Depending on how they look at things and, you know...
And also the bad guys are watching the same programs we do, and mm-hmm. as soon as a program gets too popular, they will write their bad software to bypass it.
Yep. So, yeah...
That's also a good reason to stick with one of the smaller ones.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Carl.
Yep.
All right, thanks. We... Excuse me.
Hairball?
Hairball, yeah, say something, yeah. Yeah, so it's always tough for a single program to try to do everything. That was a big complaint about Norton security.
Oh, yes, the all-in-one package. Yep. And
it tried to do too many things and made your computer too slow. So, and we've said, you know, you need an antivirus, you need an anti-malware, you need an anti-spyware, you need mm-hmm. an anti-pop-up, and you need a firewall. And so there's a lot of packages that put everything in one program.
Yep.
Which means the bad guys only have to figure out how to bypass one program.
And they're in.
And they're in, yeah. So it's getting tough for the good guys. It's just cat and mouse. The good guys are always trying to react to what the bad guys are figuring out. And it makes it hard for the end users. Although there's a couple of TV series that are kind of interesting. The new CSI Cyber, which has nothing to do with CSI but the name. It's an FBI unit, FBI cyber unit. But all the stuff they talk about how to hack into things. There was a guy that hacked into a hotel and made the hotel management computer think someone was in a room when he actually killed them. And then he hacked into someone else's phone and put fake text messages to frame him for all that stuff they talk about are real. And I sometimes wish they would make a bigger point of saying that this stuff is real rather than fictionalized for TV. But it's really interesting to see that type of stuff happen. This specific show is typical of they've got the white hats and then they've got former black hats that have been recruited to become white hats now.
Yeah, there's
that argument between, you know, black hats and the white hats. Doing good for good's sake or you know, hacking into systems just to prove that you can. And then there's the malicious black hats now that hack into systems to steal money. And that's the one of the easiest ways to break into somebody's computer is call them on the phone and say, hi, this is Microsoft support. Is your computer running slow? And everyone will say yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Here's another interesting one. The Comcast-Time Warner cable merger has been in the works for so long, it's starting to feel like the impending monopolistic telecom Frankenbaby was inevitable. But the Justice Department may put the kibosh, or if you prefer, kibosh, on the deal for violating antitrust laws, according to a report from Bloomberg. Attorneys who are investigating Comcast's $45.2 billion with a B dollar proposal to create a nationwide cable giant are leaning against the merger out of concerns that consumers would be harmed and could submit their review as soon as next week. The DOJ isn't messing around here. Sources told Bloomberg that the DOJ lawyers aren't negotiating with Comcast to help the cable giant make changes to avoid its deal from falling apart. This is good. We like this. If the deal goes through, the engorged telecom tentacles of a merged Com Warner or Timecast or whatever they're going to call it will be wrapped around roughly half of the paying TV, internet, cable customers in the U.S. With a lack of competition, the two now united cable companies, not exactly known currently for their sparkling customer service or bargain prices, will have even less incentive to cater to anything other than padding their new joint bank account. Bloomberg sources are anonymous and nothing's been settled yet, so it's premature to do a jig on the merger's grave, but this is definitely promising. So, do you think Time Warner and Comcast should merge? Why or why not? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
We often joke about how bad we think Time Warner is here locally and rates and service or whatever. But when we hear from people in other cities, we find out how good Time Warner is comparatively. There was just another hit against Comcast. Guy's house burned down and they won't let him cancel his service until he returns his equipment.
Right.
And these types of stories have come out a lot, and then what happens next is, you know, the guy said, well, my house burned down, I can't return the equipment. All right, here's a multi-$1,000 bill to pay for our equipment that you lost.
Right.
And usually what happens is as soon as it starts hitting the internet and the press like this, Comcast says, oh, no, we didn't really mean that.
Right. But it is true. Like Steve said, we joke about our cable provider because everybody hates their cable provider. That's a given. But the reality is that Time Warner is just, you don't hear nearly the stories about Time Warner that you hear about Comcast. And Comcast really is, it would be horrible if they came here. It would just be horrible. All right, our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark, what's up?
Good afternoon.
What's up?
Did you hear the story about Verizon Fios trying to cater to the 20-somethings now?
No.
They are putting through packages that they can pick their channels.
Oh, nice!
I heard it on the news yesterday, and they are going to put through packages at different price points that have particular channels, and then they can pick their channels in those price points. But it does scare me a little bit because you know how they are. They'll always throw in things you don't want, even though they'll let you pick.
Right.
Yeah, I think things are changing.
We sort of have that here with Time Warner. They package the most popular channels together in what they call their standard package or variety package. But what happens is people don't realize what they actually pay for and just pay the bill. People don't look at their itemized bill. But we've started seeing other services. Was it Sling is now offering 20 popular television channels over the internet. And we're seeing HBO Now and CBS Interactive. So a lot of the networks and stations are starting to do it themselves. So it's great to see a major provider like Verizon start doing it too.
I think it's going to change the horizon and what they're going to offer us now, because they're realizing they are losing people.
Yeah.
Well, so many people have cut the cord, and so many more people are talking about cutting the cord. And as Steve said, with Netflix and HBO Now and all of the other things that are out there, it's less important to have cable. There are some nice features of cable, but do they outweigh the cost? Good question, and that's an individual answer that, you know, I can't answer for you or anybody else. But I think you're right. I think that the dam, you know, once the dam bursts and somebody starts offering a la carte, this isn't really a la carte, though, right? It's a package.
It's kind of a la carte. That's what scares me, because they're still putting through packages, you know. But
right.
But supposedly they're going to let you pick within those packages.
Well, that's interesting. I would be, of course, we don't have Fios here, but
yeah,
that's interesting. We don't have anything quite as equivalent to Fios. In terms of internet, of course, we have Greenlight. But in terms of, you know, Fios also does television over fiber. We don't have that. Pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, the only thing close to that is what Google's doing, and I don't think they'll be here anytime soon.
Right. And Apple TV is coming. They're going to have, who knows?
Well, they've just added the HBO Now, among all the other. They've got right. The Showtime channels. They've got ABC and PBS and Smithsonian. They have a lot of different channels available. Same thing with the Roku box and the Amazon box, is you don't need to have cable television subscription to get TV shows that formerly were cable only.
Right.
And the funny thing is that's what cable originally started to do, is give you channels you couldn't get over broadcast. And then now they're mad that people are getting channels in a different place, when that was their original goal, is to let you have channels from a different place.
Yeah, right.
Well, the other nice thing about them offering this to the 20-somethings is a lot of 20-somethings are paying for internet service, and they're paying a lot more because they don't have multiple connections. So now if they're going to add a cable service, they're going to pay a little less for their internet along with a cheaper price, because they're going to have a pseudo a la carte type of TV viewing. So they may see some savings with their internet also, because I know it's a lot more to get the internet from Time Warner than it is to get bundled with the other service.
Right. So the real question becomes what ends up being cheaper in your area?
Right.
Right. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I actually bought my wife a Sling box, for Christmas, and we just haven't had a chance to set it up, what with life getting in the way. But
yeah, slacker. And you're retired?
Yeah, exactly.
You're never busier until after you retire.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have been so darn busy, dude.
Well, you know, life got in the way, too. It wasn't just me.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No,
life got
part
in the way,
it.
And that's part of it. But maybe this afternoon when I get home, I'll go play with the Sling box and add Sling Player to it, see what happens.
Well, yeah, see, Sling is basically got two different ways to do it. The original Sling box allowed you to watch what was on your DVR when you're not at home.
Right.
And why doesn't our cable company already offer that? It's already on our DVR that we're renting from you, the cable company. Why can't we watch it?
Right.
Unless we're home. Because sometimes I'm not at home and I have an hour to kill and I need to watch that. And now Sling is offering service the other way, where you're getting TV shows in to your home through the Sling service.
Right.
Comcast kind of offers that, believe it or not. Through you can watch, if I'm not mistaken, my brother's done it when he's here, watches off his DVR on his laptop.
Well, Time Warner here in Rochester does allow you to watch some live shows when you're not at home. You can watch live TV, but you can't watch your DVR. You can program your DVR, but you can't watch your DVR.
I still say it'd be, you know, maybe it'll come someday that whatever service it is, you can go on your computer or your tablet or whatever and say 15 channels is this much, 20 is this much. And what you do is you go through and pick the 15 channels other than 8, 10, and 13, which are standard, and 21. You can go ahead and select
Well, that's what he's saying FiOS lets you do now.
Well, I mean right on the screen. So that, all right, so all of a sudden I change my mind the next month and I want to You know, that channel wasn't really what I thought, and I can go in there and say, all right, I want to substitute this one for that one.
Well, that's the real problem, isn't it? Half the channels you really want to watch all the time are in one package, and the other half will be in another package.
Exactly.
The problem from the cable company's point of view is that these channels cost different amounts. You know, ESPN and TBS, they're expensive channels, and you know, Shopping Channel and, you know, other channels are cheaper.
Right.
So it's very difficult to price packages like that.
Well, I think with FiOS doing what they're doing, and if it catches on with, especially with Time Warner or Comcast, it's going to come to the point where I think the cable companies are going to be dictating the price to the networks rather than the other way around, because there's going to be higher demand for people to have a la carte channels, and the networks are either going to have to start to give a little leeway and stop charging these exorbitant amounts, or people are going to continue to stop watching cable.
We see that even now when network subscriptions to cable TV expire and need to be renewed. What was it? CBS got taken off of Time Warner. Was it during the World Series or some huge sports
game? On the West Coast, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Time Warner, I remember they had their advertising slogan, should we roll over or should we fight back? So do you want us to pay the higher fees, which will raise your bill, or do you want us to fight back and we'll raise your bill anyway?
Right. One way or the other, they're getting
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I have, you know, my next door neighbor has never, ever had cable or any of that stuff. And, he does it all. He's not a cord cutter because he never had a cord, but he watches everything, you know, particularly now that he's also got green lights right next door to me. They watch everything over the internet, and he's not missing anything that he wants to watch. It's that simple.
Yep.
And I really have started a little diary for how often I actually watch a channel I can't get over the internet.
Yep.
And it's almost entirely zero, and I really could give that one or two a month show up.
Right, and look harder; you'll find it on the internet.
Yeah,
or wait, you know, wait a month; it will be on Netflix.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So,
and the one problem I run into watching any network shows, if I want to go to CBS or one of those networks and watch it on, say, even the computer or on an app. They're very limited to what they'll let you watch, and most of the time you have to give them your service provider or they won't let you watch it.
Right, and we're seeing that changing too, especially with HBO Now and CBS Interactive. Now, you pay them directly rather than going through your cable TV company.
And I'll tell you what, I'm really, really tired of commercials. I watch very little commercial television, and the little that I do watch, I DVR. That I can pass by the commercials.
Yeah, I do on demand, and it still, you know, it gets limited commercials, a lot less, so I don't mind that.
A lot of times it's the same commercial every break.
Yep, I'm really getting tired of the smoking PSAs because they're so graphic.
Yeah.
And I don't smoke. I appreciate it. I get it. I think nobody should smoke. I killed my mother. I get it. But I don't smoke. I don't want to smoke.
Same here. And that was the death of my wife.
Yeah.
They should do like some of the internet ads do. You know, this ad is not relevant to me. Don't show me this type of ad again.
Right, right, exactly. All right, thanks. Are we done?
I think we answered his question.
Mark, are we?
He's gone. Some reason or another, now I have not touched that.
Yeah.
It's turned off.
I don't know. We either lost Mark.
There's a timer how long you can stay on the phone.
No. Yeah. Oh, we did have one person online ask a question. Have we ever heard of PicMeta? PicMeta.com. It's a photographic companions. It's about editing pictures, and it's from Van from Greece.
I have not seen PicMeta.
We are looking at it now.
Interesting. Though. Very interesting, actually.
The ultimate tool for digital cameras.
Right.
Says who? Them. Okay.
Right.
So it looks like it's a photo editing and geotagging, and you can edit the extended EXIF data.
Looks like a fairly complete package, but no, we haven't had a lot of experience.
Yeah, that's
with it,
what
I'm
I kind of told
to
them.
Say.
Yep.
Sorry. I've been doing most of my editing online, actually. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we have Bob from Henrietta on the line. Hiya, Bob. What's up?
Oh, good afternoon. Can you hear me all right? This is
yep.
A smell phone.
Yeah.
You were talking about Comcast. I'm going to be really displeased if they win that fight. You're familiar with the advertising redirects, the DNS redirects and so forth,
sure.
I'm sure?
Yes, we are.
Comcast has been known for blocking port 53, so people like myself who run their own DNS servers, to avoid that nonsense, will be up a creek.
Oh, yeah.
Or even if you want to use something like OpenDNS for its parental controls and filters.
Yeah, too bad.
That would block that, too, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I have seen that. Many of the companies do that, block ports.
I don't like the advertising, DNS redirect advertising, so I run my own DNS server to get around it. If they block port 53, I'm not going to be able to do that.
Right. You can get away with some of that by adding things to your host file. One of the things I did for a while was whenever I came across an ad, and there are actually only a few ad networks, so it was pretty easy to get rid of like 90% of them. Add it to my host file as 127.0.0.1. And then you get a little error message in that spot.
I just thought I'd bring up another reason to dislike Comcast.
No, I absolutely get it. Thank you, Bob.
Have fun.
What Bob is talking about is that when you have a web page up, the ads actually come in from other web pages. So there are ways to block that. Ad block is one. There are half a dozen other ways to do it. The easiest way that kills all of them is to run your own DNS server, your own name server, and then you can block them all out there. But Comcast does not allow you to run your own name server, so that feature, that ability would be gone for him.
The other thing that a lot of providers do is they'll have what's called a DNS redirect. So if you misspell an address when you're trying to go somewhere, you type something wrong, you're supposed to get an error message, can't find server, 404 address
right.
not found. So what happens is your internet provider will see that you're going to get one of those errors, and instead of showing you an error, it will open a page full of ads related to that error.
Right.
So it basically does a search and tries to guess what you meant to type and shows you a bunch of ads. So Time Warner and Frontier both do that here in Rochester. And if you look really close, there's a tiny button somewhere that says opt out. So you can opt out of that search redirect and then get the real can't find server button. But you have to look really close to find that opt out.
Yep.
And
yep.
they opt you back in after a while, too. It's only a temporary opt out.
Yeah, right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Rich. From Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Rich. What's up?
Hi, guys. I'm thinking of returning my modem to Time Warner and buying a combination modem router. And I'm going to buy locally rather than online, which is what I usually do, but I want to support local people. And I was looking at an item by the manufacturer's name of Zoom, Z-O-O-M. Had never heard of that brand before. But it's got two antennas on it, and it's a combo unit, and it's in my price point of $100. But it does not have AC. And I understand AC is the latest configuration. I'll be streaming movies only from the second floor to the first. Something I should think about, that it does not have AC, whatever that means.
Yeah, there are two or three different related issues. One is that you must buy a modem that's on Time Warner's approved list. So that's the first thing to do. They do have some Zoom modems on their list. Zoom is an old brand. You know, we used to use Zoom dial-up modems ages ago. So I'm going to post the list from Time Warner of approved modems.
Okay.
And then secondly, yeah, if one of the things we recommend in our store is get your cable modem and your wireless router separate, because the wireless technology changes a lot faster than the cable technology. And as you said, the latest wireless technology is AC, and that's very fast and very long range. If you're looking at a Zoom modem that has an older, you know, N or even older G, that's probably why it's cheaper. But those modems, the wireless, are a lot slower, and they don't support as many connections. And so you have three or four people in your house streaming, you know, streaming video, for example. Everything can be slower because you don't have the bandwidth that a newer AC modem has.
I see.
That said, also, if your devices don't do AC, then it doesn't matter if you own an AC modem.
But your next computer, your next tablet,
right,
probably will do AC because it is the current standard.
So the equipment it's connected to must be capable of AC.
Right. Everything has to be the same. Now, almost every AC modem also does N and B and A alone and C alone and blah, 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 blah. So the likelihood is you will be able to connect. You may not just connect at AC speeds.
I see. You are recommending two separate units rather than built together, unless it is AC?
Even if it's AC. Because let's say you've got that modem for four or 5 years.
Yeah.
You may be able to change to yet another standard in 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Where the cable standard doesn't change that fast.
Right. So as Steve said, if you've got one device that brings in your cable, that probably will stay the same for the next 10 years, frankly.
I see.
Whereas the wireless may change after 2 or 3.
Okay. So my old modem right now should be okay. It's a new router AC I should be looking for.
Well, sort of. Your old modem from the cable company, depending on how old it is, it may not support the new standard that came out a couple of years ago, the DOCSIS 3.
Uh-huh.
One of the funny things is the newer modems will support up to 300 megabits for internet connection.
Right.
Time Warner's fastest they offer here in town is 50.
Right. So,
but you may have an older DOCSIS 2 that only does 10 megabit. So if one of the things we're seeing people run into is when they get a brand new cable modem, their internet speeds go way up because they're able to get what they've been paying for all along because they don't have that old modem. And the fact that you're renting that modem now from Time Warner, you know, a couple of years ago they started putting this modem rental fee, or lease they called it, that you're leasing the modem. For that modem you've had in your house for 15 years, that's probably an old piece of garbage now.
Right.
A lot of people will buy their own cable modem, and generally what we're seeing, the cable leasing fees with taxes and fees are about $10 a month. So you buy the $100 cable modem, and then you add $100, $150 a wireless router. It does cost a little more than one of the older all-in-one units, but you'll be better off in the long run and have much better speeds and much better performance.
So the router is AC, not necessarily the modem, or
right,
are they both?
Yeah, the modem will be DOCSIS 3. And
what word are you using, sir?
DOCIS.
DOCSIS.
SIS. DOCSIS?
DOCSIS.
DOCSIS.
DOCSIS 3. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the
DOCSIS is simply the standard for cable modems. It used
I
to
see.
Be DOCSIS 1, DOCSIS 2, it's, now it's DOCSIS 3.
It's an acronym for something.
It doesn't matter what.
Yeah,
but the point is that's the standard for the cable modem.
And
DOCSIS 3 and AC for the router.
Yeah.
Must the router have two antennas sticking up? I always think that's a stronger signal, but I don't think that's true.
It can be, but a lot of routers don't have those antennas sticking up anymore.
I know that.
They'll have four or five router antenna in the box, and that makes them a little cleaner and prettier. They don't need to have the antenna sticking up anymore.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you so much for the info, guys.
Yep.
Sure.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yep.
You too.
And I have posted the Time Warner approved cable modem list. We have found the best luck with the Motorola 6121. It does support, it supports 300 megabit, but Time Warner only does 50. It's relatively inexpensive, and it works really good. And saves you money in the long run. We've actually sort of started a practice of when someone comes into our store with a Roadrunner email address, we'll have them bring in their cable bill, and we can find stuff that they've been paying for that they didn't know. A lot of times, say you get a new DVR because your old one broke, they'll forget to take the old one off your bill, so you're paying for two. So take a look at your cable bills and make sure you understand each one of those items, and do you really have that cable equipment anymore?
Right. All right, our next caller is Joe from Cheek.
Tawaga.
Hiya, Joe. What do you know? You're out there in Buffalo.
Your previous caller, I would highly urge them not to buy a cable modem wireless combination. Very simply, if something goes wrong with your cable modem, well, now all of a sudden you're out your wireless, or vice versa, if something happens with your wireless, or the standard changes, you'd like to upgrade from N to AC or whatever.
Right, exactly right.
The two get inexorably tied together, so why would you want to combine functions when it's so easy to hook together stuff that you know, one needs an up. The other thing, thinking of updates, so they update the DOCSIS firmware, which that's data over cable service interface specification. If they update the firmware for the cable modem part, well, what did that now do to your wireless? You can, if they're separating, you can
update makes
them
life
separately.
Easier. Right, right, right. I completely agree. That's exactly what we were saying. So thank you. Yes, that's exactly correct. I completely agree.
Have you heard about the personal audio case?
The personal audio what?
Case. There was a federal case that was personal audio was suing several podcasters like
EFF beat down the podcaster troll.
We had a report on that
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we talked about that somewhere in the forums. They're podcasting patent invalidated.
Oh, I'm so glad for guys like you that have a podcast. You can sleep a little easier now that you not as much chance of getting sued by these guys.
Yeah, they were going after the big guys, Adam Carolla and Adam Savage, who have really big podcast networks. The FF has helped in striking down the patent.
Yeah, and so the guy's a patent troll. It's a lawyer who's a patent troll.
A non-practicing entity.
Yeah, exactly. he's a patent troll, and he gets these patents, and he twists and turns the language to make them match whatever he feels like suing next.
Even worse than that. They're not using that technology themselves to do anything with it. They're just using it to go after people who that want to use the technology.
Exactly. And so he's a patent troll, and the judge kind of slapped him down pretty hard this time, which is very nice. He'll be back, I'm sure, with other patents that he figures he can make money on. But if he gets struck down enough times, he'll go away.
Hopefully quit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time, gentlemen.
No, thank you, Joe. We appreciate it.
There was a lot of fear that anyone that was doing podcasting was going to have to start paying a huge licensing fee, and one of the differentiations on the internet is that basically anyone can have their own radio show and their own TV show without needing a giant studio. We simulcast our physical radio show, terrestrial radio in old fashioned terms, on the internet, and we have it available for download later. But there's a lot of people who've gotten really popular with just a computer in a room. But there were some jokes in Scott Sigler was doing science fiction novels, and and he was recording them in his closet because then it didn't echo with the acoustics in his room.
Right, right.
And so, you know, literally guys in their closets with a microphone and a computer, you know, making radio shows, what we would consider a radio show. And a lot of them have gotten very popular. And
a lot of people are doing YouTube these days. Who's the little girl? She's like 8 years old or something, and she's got a cooking show, and she's making $127,000 a month. A month.
Oh, boy.
On YouTube.
Yep. YouTube stars now. We used to call them the internet stars. Now they're the YouTube stars. We have our own here from Rochester. Isn't Jenna Marbles from Rochester?
Yes, she is.
Yep.
And you see a lot of them out there these days in every genre. It's really kind of nice.
Yeah, we used to say it's any topic you can think of, and many of them you couldn't.
Right. And on the one hand, you think to yourself, well, these are really niche markets. And that's true. But when you're talking about worldwide, that's a pretty big niche.
Yeah.
You know? Before I forget, I wanted to finish something I was talking about earlier when we talk about audio editing and video editing and picture editing. I tend to use Pixlr, P-I-X-L-R, which is actually an online editor that does about 90% of what I need. It does everything I need to do. It's a very cool product. There are several in the family.
It's from Autodesk.
That do everything. And then WeVideo.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member support.
Every sponsor started playing at once.
Well, apparently I'm being told subtly that it's time to take a quick break. We'll be back.
I don't know what happened there.
Yep, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Hopefully not simultaneously, strung out really over the next hour, with its sound buttons on member supported Jazz 9.1. See you on the other side. Stay tuned.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Sound Bites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, hurtling headlong into the second hour of this particular show, some 25 years, 7 months, and 15 days into the life of Sound Bites. If you are hoping to buy an Apple Watch at an Apple store on April 24th, you will have to reset your watch alarm. Apple has changed its plans to make its new smartwatch available for purchase in stores next Friday. You can still pre-order one online, and you can make an appointment to try one on in an Apple store. But you'll likely have to wait until June for your new Apple Watch to ship to you. An Apple spokes individual was unavailable for comment all over the internet about why the change was made, with shipping dates for pre-orders starting in mid-May and extending into July for some Apple Watch models. There is no doubt a supply shortage. E-receipt company Slice Intelligence estimates that just under 1 million Americans pre-ordered an Apple Watch on April 10th, which is a lot less than I thought it would be the first day the watch became available for online ordering. Apple has faced supply shortages in the past, typically when it launched a completely redesigned model of an iPhone or an iPad. For the Apple Watch, which is unlike any product Apple has ever made, it's expected that the smartwatch inventory would be tight. Suppliers have had to make all new components for the watch since they didn't have the necessary parts lying around from previous versions. So although every time Apple has a shortage, we hear it's a fake shortage. They're just doing it to keep the price high, to keep demand high. In this particular case, we actually believe them. Apple removed the April 24th availability date from its website, and Apple Store employees have confirmed that the watch will not be available for sale on that date. So, are you disappointed? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
One of the things we hear, because we heard this at our store too, is there was a leaked memo from Angela Ahrens, who's the new head of retail that they brought over from Burberry, that this policy is basically so people don't have to wait in line. And what we all say is... people don't have to wait in line. You can make an appointment, you can place your order, and it will show up on your door. What she didn't realize, if this is actually their intent and if this memo is accurate, people don't have to wait in line. They want to wait in line. It's a social gathering experience. People like waiting in those lines.
People because wait in those lines for days, not because they have to, because they enjoy it.
Right.
People take their vacations to wait in those lines.
And if you wait 2 or 3 days after that first day, you can usually walk into the store and buy whatever you want.
Right.
Although for a brand new product category like this, it's going to be tight for a few months anyway.
Right.
But yeah, people like those lines. It's and there's always that same guy who gets interviewed on the news first because he's first in line.
Right.
And people get paid to wait in line by other people too.
She's destroying the economy.
Yeah, she's putting people out of work.
Exactly right. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's up?
Yeah, hi guys. That's a very interesting comment you just made. By the way, I really missed the days of the Finger Lakes Performing Arts Center box office, where we used to go there the night before to get concert tickets,
yep.
And it was a big social sort of a really fun thing.
Yeah,
and
it really was, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I missed that. And as another side note, before I ask my question, I used to correspond with Jenna Marbles on YouTube back when she was getting only a few hundred to a few thousand views because
right.
I saw that she was from Rochester. And within a few months, she had hundreds of thousands of views and she no longer wrote to me. So anyway, she was a nice girl, though. My question is this. I set Yahoo as my homepage, and I use their mail service. And every now and then, I'll click on their links below that will bring me to other news-related articles or whatnot. And I have found more than once that when I land on these other pages that are right on that come from that front page of Yahoo, that there's often. I might click on something else. It might be an ad or maybe not, and I'll end up with a potential problem, like something virus or malware-related will hit me where like my screen will suddenly change, and I'll get, you must call this because you might be infected, et cetera, et cetera. It's happened more than once with these Yahoo links, something that you would certainly think, because it's Yahoo, would be a safe place to go.
Yeah, it's not how it works.
Yeah. Well,
here's the deal. When you have these pages, what they do is they make money, obviously,
right.
by ads.
Right.
And they buy a block of ads from an ad-selling conglomerate.
Okay.
And usually several different conglomerates selling different types of ads.
Right. And so Yahoo have no control over what shows up in that block.
And the bad guys have figured out that they can buy an ad too. So you have an ad for tires, you have an ad for diapers, you have an ad saying you're infected with a virus.
Right.
And often they're targeted at high volume websites like Facebook and Yahoo. We had a customer get hit on the Walmart website. They're often caught by the IT people at those companies within a couple hours. But in that couple hours, millions of people probably got hit by that ad. And many of them may have gotten tricked by it. And we've said over the years with adware and spyware that one response justifies the cost of doing it, because it's usually zero cost
right.
to do adware. Where with direct marketing, they say 1% is a good return on investment. With these fake ads, you know, just one response, and you sucker someone out of $300. All right, great, and you do that 3 or 4 times a day.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't need that many, especially because you can send out millions and millions, if not billions, of ads. And at virtually no cost to you, because you probably stole someone else's credit card to send them.
Right. Well, then here's my question, and I've had this pester me for years now. When this happens, I've even gotten to the point where I'm careful where I'm putting my cursor, because I'm so paranoid about going over something that could cause a problem. My question is, why isn't there some kind of a, quote, kill switch? I mean, no one wants to just turn their computer rate off with the power button. I guess that's a bad thing to do. But even if you do that, it takes at least several seconds for it to happen. And I never do it anymore anyways. But why isn't there just something that where you can just chop off the internet access or something to halt the progress?
Unplug your ether wire.
Yeah, you can unplug your ether wire. That's about it. The problem with shutting your computer down is that there are a number of files that are open
when
the system is running. And if those are not properly closed off, you may not be able to turn the machine on the next time.
They're system files.
And because the computer works in nanoseconds, it's too late. You're already...
Yeah, your reflexes are way... You're merely human.
You blinked, you're lost.
One of the things you can do... there are a couple of things. Most websites are run by ads. So the fact that you can look at the website for free is paid for by the ads that are on there.
Yeah.
There are ad blocking programs that will try to block the ads. The problem is if too many people block too many ads, the web pages will either go away or find a different way to make money. So what the bad guys have started doing too is most browsers have something called extensions. Safari and Chrome calls them extensions and Firefox called them add-ons. And that's where you can add an ad blocker if you want. But it's also where adware programs can get put in. Oftentimes without you even knowing it. And what they end up doing is showing you more ads and usually showing you more malicious ads. So if you go into your browser's extension list and see what extensions are there, especially if you didn't add any yourself, they are most likely fake. And a lot of them are, they sound good. There's one called PhotoIt, which claims to show you more photos of ads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
And quite a few of them are, you know, is your computer slow? You know, click here. Do you want to make your web browsing experience better? For us.
Right.
So they're getting sneaky, they're getting tricky, and then they install software in your browser to show you even more ads.
And I think with YouTube, I think as an example, I think it's in their policy that if you have a channel and you're active on YouTube, you're not supposed to have any of that kind of ad blocking stuff going on, which I understand. Isn't that correct? Where they don't want you to have disabling?
Well, that's you, but obviously me going to your page, I can use whatever I want.
Right. Okay.
I suspect that every single Soundbites user is using some sort of ad blocking thing because nobody ever clicks on the ads in the Soundbites page. Of course, I keep them at the bottom so they're unobtrusive and nobody scrolls down.
So there you go. You're doing it right.
So I'm doing it right, which means, you know, we don't make any money off it at all.
Yeah.
So, but that's, you know, that's one of the reasons that ads are more obtrusive. If I had a banner ad on the page and interspersed ads all over the place, the likelihood that someone would click on them and make us some money me, because I'm paying for the site, it really just... trust me, I'm not making any money off of this thing.
Right.
So the basic idea is that the reason that they do it the way they do it is because otherwise nobody pays money for it. Now, for example, I often use a product because I'm on my Chromebook. I can't run any of the major ad blocking software. I run a product called uBlock or MicroBlock, actually, Origin. And it runs in my browser and it does all the stuff that I need an ad blocker to do. But it also means that I'm not making, you know, I don't even have an opportunity to make money for that company, right? Because the ads are gone.
Right.
And so it's a problem the industry has. Everybody wants everything for free.
Yeah.
Ads are annoying.
Yeah.
But the people who put this stuff out have to make money some way.
Right. Can I mention one other thing real quick?
Yeah.
Earlier you were talking about, I think Steve was mentioning, I was just thinking about this yesterday, the ads on TV, really, there must be some way like so many internet sites have where the cable companies can figure out how to advertise to me things that I'm interested in. I don't mind ads if it's stuff that I'm like the smoking ad. I don't want to see that either.
Right.
That's the point of cookies on the internet.
Right.
You click on an ad and it learns what ads you like.
Right.
The bad guys have used cookies to do bad things.
Right.
So every time the good guys figure out something good, the bad guys figure out a way to exploit it.
Right.
Now, yes, they could actually do that. Absolutely, they could do that. It would cost them money to add that capability to their cable boxes.
But
so
wouldn't it offer them more advertising revenue potentially?
Unlikely.
Yeah.
If you don't like everything, what ads are you going to see?
They already know what ads you skip on your DVR,
right,
and what ads you rewind. And
I've never rewound an ad in my entire life.
Interesting. Okay.
Now some of the ads are getting sneaky, and you think it's your show again. So you stop fast forward, thinking your show's back, and it's an ad.
Or they put one of those 30-second interstices in the middle of a block of ads.
Yes, Bravo does that all the time.
Yeah.
Because they know people are fast forwarding.
Somebody was it TiVo?
Yeah.
Replay.
And that's why they're gone.
Right. They had a button that you could push that actually fast forwarded for exactly 4 minutes or whatever an ad block was.
Yeah.
And they got sued out of existence.
That one of the executives, probably NBC, at the time said it's your, I think he used the word constitution, your legal obligation to watch the ads in order to get free television.
And, we've signed a contract.
Yeah, really.
That wasn't a very popular opinion.
Well, we didn't sign a contract.
Yeah,
so
really.
How did we have a legal obligation?
Well, if you don't want to watch the ads, stop watching television.
Don't stop
watching the ads.
That's why God
stop
made
watching
lawyers.
Television.
Right. That's why God made lawyers. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there, you know, they could do it, but I don't see them doing that ever.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know. Thanks. Thanks for your call. That's some good things to think about, Tim. Thank you.
And it's always that trade-off between the good guys and the bad guys, and the bad guys tend to think of the newer things first.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break, apparently while the Bulls come out and fight. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Frey. We've had enough Bull in this show. We don't need more during the breaks. With a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We were talking, before we get back to the phones, we were talking about Microblock, or U-Block, as it's called, earlier. And I've replaced AdBlock Plus with it because it apparently is as good or better and much lighter in the background. So, again, this runs strictly as an extension in the Chrome browser, but your browser is where you're going to see all these ads, and B, it's just much lighter. So that's why I'm using it instead of AdBlock Plus. All right, back to the phone.
Comparatively, AdBlock Plus lets some ads through that have paid them.
Right.
There was a big controversy about that.
Right, and Microblock or U-Block does not. And so far it's been spot on. I'm on a page right now where I'm blocking 61 ads. Jeez. All right, to the phones. Mike from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's up?
I got a question about cell phones. I've been an Apple guy for a long time, but I need to get a phone for my son. He just got his driver's license, and I don't want to spend a lot of money on a phone. And I was looking at Windows phones, and I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. What's your opinion about their apps and what's available? I know there's been not a lot of apps written for the Windows phones.
There tend to be less apps.
I kind of like the tile interface.
Yeah, there tend to be less apps, but all of the common apps that most people use are there.
Okay, Google Maps, can you get Google Maps for the Apple phone? Or the, Windows phone?
I think the Google apps are the one apps you don't get, but because Microsoft bought Nokia, you actually get the Nokia mapping program, which was among the best of the cell phone mapping programs in the beginning.
I have to say, okay. You can get Google Maps. It is called Google Maps Mobile.
As an app or a website?
You
can always go to the Google Maps website.
No,
yeah.
It says install.
Right. It's an app? All right, cool.
At windowsphone.com, I think that's their store.
Right, yeah, I was checking out their app store a little bit and seeing what they had available. Yeah. Like I said, I'm a big Apple and used it, but it's a pricey item for a 17-year-old.
Well, that's exactly right. So you really want to be looking at the Windows phone or the Android phones.
Right.
And then, you know, your choices are Siri versus Cortana versus Google. Google.
They need a cooler name.
They need a better name.
They couldn't go with Magical because of copyright issues. But they need a better name.
Yeah. The Windows phones are a little bit less expensive. I've family members that have used Android phones and have been less than excited about them. And long life, they don't seem to last a long time. It could be the manufacturer, but...
Yeah, it's
not very upgradable.
One of the problems with going too cheap is that oftentimes they're cheap for a reason because they're using lower quality products. The other issues to think about is for a teenager, probably not, but how much data are you going to synchronize with your computer? And it's easiest to sync an Apple with a Mac and with an Apple phone with an Apple computer and
right.
a Microsoft phone with a Microsoft computer, but most of the phones have figured out ways to sync with all the OSs. And so Microsoft has their OneDrive that you can use to sync with
right.
With
and a lot of people honestly aren't syncing as much with their devices.
And especially teenagers, everything they do is on the phone. They don't even have a computer.
Right. And so if they're going to do anything, they back up to the cloud.
Yep.
And on Windows, you have OneDrive, so you'll be able to do that right out of the phone. OneDrive is a thing. None of the phones that I've seen are bad. I just haven't played with them for 10 hours at a time to really know what they're like. But
and there's some of the Nokia cameras, phones that have really amazing cameras that we hear great reviews and they wish Apple and Google had made cameras like that.
Right, and everybody I know who has one. Has a Windows phone, loves it.
Okay. I'm thinking too. What's he going to do? I mean, this generation, they text and they post pictures, and navigation is probably what he needs it most for.
Right. So you'll be able to get Skype. You'll be able to get photo. What is it called? Whatever the photo apps are. You'll be able to get Google Maps. You'll be able to actually call somebody on the phone. Remember when we used to do that?
Yep.
Be able to text. So
Facebook.
Really, Facebook
yeah.
and but I was thinking Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
All of that stuff is available, and so he should have no real issues. He just won't have the same phone as everybody else. Big deal, let him buy his own phone.
And that will set him apart.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And he can buy his own phone later on. If I get him something now, I'm going to get it. I know it's not the super long-term commitment for him, but
right.
I want to give him something that's affordable but also will work for him for probably a year or two.
Right, and Twitter and Flipbook and Vine and all of those things are going to be available for him. So, big deal.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yep, good luck.
It's kind of
all
interesting.
Right,
yep, you're welcome. It's kind of interesting to think of Microsoft as the also-ran in the phone industry.
They fell behind on internet. They fell behind on phone. It was kind of weird.
Putting too much concentration on the Windows desktop OS because that's the way we've always done it.
Yep, that's exactly right. They're losing on the inexpensive portable computers. Chromebook is just way out ahead in all of that.
Although I have read that the new Surface 3 tablet is pretty good.
It's excellent. It's just not as cheap.
Yeah.
If you're going to spend the money, it's a very good product.
Mm-hmm.
if you're looking for inexpensive, you know, we were one of the ads that we're probably one of the stories rather that we're not going to get to is about Los Angeles had this iPad for every student program.
Yep.
It's been 2 years. It's completely crashed and burned. And nobody's, you know, right now,
the kids were able to break into them too easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Chromebooks, which can be completely locked down by the faculty, and are way less expensive than an iPad, like a third the price, the number one purchase for schools right now.
Yeah. There was also another controversy along with that. I listened to the Mac Break on This Week in Tech, which is in California.
Right.
And they were talking about that the LA school district raised a $30 million 30-year bond to buy these iPads. And they're going to be obsolete in a couple of years and horribly outdated in 4 or 5 years, but you're going to be paying for them for 30 years?
They're going to be paying for them for 30 years, and it's ridiculous. And if you were going with Chromebooks, you could buy three times as many.
Yep.
And, oh, by the way, the program to lock them down and control them and all that stuff is free and really seriously locks them down. Boom. Tight. You can't do that with iPads. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joanne from Greece, New York. Welcome, Joanne. What's up?
I use Dropbox.
Yeah.
And I don't have any secret stuff in it.
Yeah.
It's on my computer, and I also have it on my iPhone.
Right.
I keep trying to access. It's basically, I'm trying to get my calendar when I'm around the county from my iPhone.
Dropbox doesn't do calendars. It does files.
Well, I don't. It's in a Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, they asked me for my email address, and then they asked me for my code, and they've just given me a code, security code, and I put the security code in, and push it, and it says I either have an invalid, I either have a wrong Gmail address or the wrong code. So I say I'm having trouble doing it. They give me a new password, and it same thing happens. I can't open up the spreadsheet.
Okay, a couple of things that we see all the time. The passwords that you get from Dropbox often have uppercase, lowercase, and sometimes symbols. And typing those in correctly on a phone is problematic at best. A lot of people have those issues. It's not just you.
The codes they've been giving me are just like a 6-digit numbers.
Do you have two-factor authentication turned on? Is that the code you mean?
When you say code, do you mean the password to get in or something else?
They just tell me they send me in a text on my iPhone, and they said your code, your security code is.
It's two-factor authentication.
Okay, here's what you have to do then. What you do is you sign into Dropbox using your regular username and password.
Okay.
Then,
on my computer, I don't have a password.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Yeah, you actually do.
Okay.
And you need to know what that is.
Okay.
Once you have, or you can have them issue you a new password on your computer.
Okay.
Once you have that, then you sign in on Dropbox, and if you've got two-factor authentication set up, you'll then get a thing that says, okay, now type in this code. But you have to be signed into Dropbox first.
Okay. How can I get rid of the two-factor authorization?
Well, you kind of don't want to because it is very important.
It protects
for security.
Yeah, it protects you from someone else getting into your account and taking your files.
It can have my calendar.
Yeah. So if you want to disable it, you can. Once you log into Dropbox, you have to do it on a website.
Uh-huh.
You log into Dropbox, and you want to go to settings, and then under settings, there's a security tab, and there you can disable your two-step verification, they call it.
Okay.
But first, you've got to figure out what your password is.
On the desktop. Okay.
And then you use that same password on the phone.
Okay. That sounds good to me.
The other thing you can do, what kind of phone do you have? iPhone or app, Android phone?
It's an iPhone 7, okay. I think it is.
Use the Dropbox app on the phone.
Yes. Right.
You can also, by the way, keep your calendar in...
The calendar program on the phone.
But I like the Excel spreadsheet. I don't like the way their calendars do.
All right, then that's fine. You absolutely use that. Mm-hmm. If it makes you happier, then use it.
Yeah.
All right, so get that password, log in with the app using the password, and then use the two-factor authentication to verify that you're you and sign in.
Okay, I will give it a try.
Okie doke, good luck.
Thank you.
Yep.
Now, Dropbox is one of the few companies that hasn't kept up with the free space that the other services are using.
Yep.
Or the cheaper extra space to purchase that the other services have done. Especially we talked about Amazon doing a terabyte free for Prime customers.
Yep.
And Apple is, I think, $100 a year for a terabyte.
Yep.
Or, you know, a buck a month for 20 gigs, which is a whole lot of Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting to see how the different cloud services, because Dropbox was probably the first sort of real main program that hit the mainstream.
Yep.
And how everyone else is, like Microsoft, how everyone else has passed them now.
Exactly.
I remember reading about a program that would aggregate all of the free services. So you get one gig free here and 2 gigs free there. It would aggregate them all together and give you a single cloud storage box with 10 different accounts.
Yep. All right. Our next caller is Roger from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's up?
I just thought I'd call in. I'm the Lone Ranger there with a one vote for Windows Phone in today's poll.
How do you like your Windows Phone?
I love it.
See, I told you, people who have them, everybody laughs at them, but the people who have them love them.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing about them that is going to be a drawback for them is definitely an RTFM phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, if you really want to use it effectively, download and read the manual. If you want to do something, just Google it.
Yep.
It's out there, but it has a lot of features. And one of the things I'm really looking forward to is with Windows 10 coming out this year, they're going to offer the free upgrade for home users to Windows 10 for anyone running Windows 8 or Windows 7.
Yeah.
And that's going to apply to phones and tablets also. And once they've unified it, any app you buy for your phone, your tablet, or your PC will run and communicate across all three platforms.
Yep, yep. Very nice. It's conceptually very good. We were just joking about Windows being way behind everybody else. The thing is, because they were behind everybody else, they got to lay back and watch and bring out features that everybody had been complaining about that nobody else had.
Right, and it's, you know, like I'm sitting at a Windows computer. I would really rather put a lot of details for a doctor's appointment, et cetera, than I'm putting in my schedule. I'd really rather input that on my computer and have it show up on my phone.
Yep.
If you're running Android or Apple, if you're not running a Mac with Apple, then you're playing back and forth, trying to get platforms to communicate. So I think really that Microsoft is going to do a whole lot with this, and their phones are very reasonably priced for the features you get.
Yeah, absolutely. I do not disagree with that.
For a whole lot less when you buy a Windows phone.
Yep, I completely agree. I love, like I said, I love my Android phone, but I'm using Google Calendar and I'm using the Google Docs stuff and like that. So, but if you're in that Windows world, then that's the way to go all the way around. Listen, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites member supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Ed from Henrietta, New York, on the line. Welcome, Ed. How you doing?
Hi, guys. How's it going? I was going to ask you a different question, but the previous caller had a more interesting topic. I got a Samsung Galaxy, and it had a package where you got, I think it was five or six apps that came with it. It was, and so you have to go, it's called an Android app bundle, and you have to go to Simply App Pack to get them. But my question is, it says, and, you know, it warns you, don't do this through a computer. You have to do it via your phone, and it gives you several things you can download, like, I don't know, editing colors and recipes and things that nobody wants. But at any rate, you can't see it. And it says, it gives you code to put in, four boxes, and you can pinch it a little bit to see it. But I guess my question is, even with a magnifying glass, if you can't do it on a computer, do you just have to keep trying and go slowly? Because, you know, if your fingers go just a millimeter, you know, the Google thing comes up and says, okay, who do you want to talk to? So it's just, it's very difficult to do, but I guess that's the only way to get these. Is that correct?
It likely is. The question is whether or not you actually need them. You know, I don't know who this what's the name of the bundle?
It's bundled by TrackPhone. It's a Samsung Galaxy, and they got a lot of good, really good free stuff in there. But you're right. I hate to, you know, if they give it to you for free, your human nature is you want to get it for free. But it's tough. But I mean, there's a couple things in there, like recipes, maybe. And if you do any editing of your photos, it enhances it a little bit. And it's more for like the exotic people that maybe do that for a living. Getting these things downloaded, I mean, it's just, it's kind of tough.
Well, you may find that if you turn your phone sideways,
right,
you get a bigger area.
Right. I thought about that, but I was afraid if I did, I'd have to start all over again. This is very touchy. I mean, it's, you know, if you've got fingers, if you don't have a pointer, you know, and if they're long fingernails.
And a lot of people do use a stylus with a phone.
Which, as I was going to ask you, that might be an excellent idea, because otherwise it takes you so long to just type out the word the, you know.
Yeah, right. There are a number of things that you can do, actually, to improve your experience. You can get a little stylus with a rubber tip on the end. They come in every conceivable combination, from just a $1 piece of plastic with a clip on one end for your pocket and a stylus, a little rubber pad on the other, to pens and everything else. So, you know, you can get a. They used to sell a pack of them at the dollar store.
How much were they?
A good question. Yeah. I never got them because they were out when I went.
Now some of the high end ones, like the Jot, is almost $100 for the Jot stylus, which is mainly for artists who want a very fine point.
But so if you've got a fairly small window on your phone and fairly big fingers like I have, I have fat fingers, you probably are best off with some sort of stylus.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got, you know, for things like passwords and stuff like that, you have to type them in. But what I tend to do, and again, you have to look and see if your phone will let you do this. Whenever I bring up a text window where I type something, in the lower right corner, I have a little, it looks like a key, right? Like the regular A or B key. It looks like a little key with a microphone in it. I press that, and then I can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets that. Now, that uses some of your data plan. But,
right.
So there, you know, that for people who have the smaller screen phones and therefore have that issue, that can also help. Once you're not when you're typing passwords and things like for what you're doing, but for, you know, sending text and stuff like that.
Can I just ask you another quick kind of related question?
Sure.
about work emails, because you guys helped me a lot. A long time I called in and you taught me how to make the screen dark when the IT guy said you couldn't, but. It's bizarre, because this just started to happen. When you go to work, of course, it's managed by my email, like most places are anymore. You check your inbox, and I found out if I don't read it, well, no, put it another way, if I scroll through it real quick and I think I'm going to go back when I get a break and read them, when I do that now, they're gone. So the only way that I can make sure that I'm safe, like a meeting at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning, and you forget about it, is to go in first and read them and click them away like they're, you know, they go to the second page like if you eventually want to toss them. But I don't have a clue why it started to do this, and the IT guy is just scratching his head. Now, if it's a big email, it automatically goes to, you know, the extra email box, and I check that, and I check around like it's spam. I don't have a clue what's going on, and nobody knows why.
What is your email program?
Pardon me?
What email program are you using?
I think they just went over to Windows 7. I don't know.
So are you using Outlook, or are you using something on the web that they've got proprietary, or are you using Thunderbird, or?
That's a good point. I think it might be proprietary, or Outlook rings a bell with me. I just go in and do it. It's just there, you know, and then you go, okay. You log in, and then
your thing. Well, you're going to need to know that at some point. And then one of the things you're going to want to do is take a look through the settings, because on most of the email I can't tell you where to go look because I don't know what your program is.
Mm-hmm.
But on most email programs, somewhere in the settings is something that says, once I've seen a message, hide it.
So it could say hide read messages.
Okay.
Or view unread messages, and you want to uncheck because you want to view all the messages.
Right. So if you've seen a message and some of them, there's also, you know, there's an attendant thing that says if it's on the screen for 5 seconds, consider it read.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they all then go away. You may be able to just go in and uncheck hidden messages. Right. Hidden, that's not the right term, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You need to start looking through your various options in the settings to determine what's going on. But in general, that's something that most mail programs give you because some people like it. It helps hide clutter, et cetera, et cetera. But you're right. If you're just looking at your mail and saying, all right, I need to check that out later. I need to check that out later. And they're gone, that's really horribly frustrating.
Mm-hmm. And Outlook has a menu called Filter, and you can you may have accidentally turned on Filter Unread, so as soon as it thinks you've read a message, it hides it.
I got you. Good point. I'll check that, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
All right, good luck, Ed.
Take care.
And a lot of times that's right near the sort command, so I want to sort it by subject instead of by date, and you accidentally nick on hide the read messages. And
right.
Now all my messages are gone.
Right. I see people do that all the time. It's
it's easy to do.
It's easy to do, and I get that, but you have to be careful. Also, it's important when you give us a call, folks, to know the names of the programs that you're using. We can't give you directed help. Sometimes we can't give you directed help at all, but we certainly can't give it to you if we don't know what programs you're actually
running. We can't see your device. So
Right. So...
haven't got that capability.
At least what the icon looks like, and then we can usually make a good guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, so if he's using a yellow O, that's probably Outlook.
Chances are.
Well, that was the joke forever. You know, your internet browser was the blue E, and that was the Internet Explorer, and that's what everyone had, because that's what everyone used. And,
mm-hmm.
That's gone now,
Now I have a blue compass. Yeah, what is the Spartan icon?
It's Microsoft has said that they're killing off Internet Explorer and
it's still like
Spartan. It's the same program.
Yeah,
just a different name.
It's a blue globe now.
Right now,
that's someone else's logo. That looks familiar.
Yeah, the Death Star. Because it's still a beta. None of that is necessarily going to be
the final logo.
Right, it's not the final logo. It may not even be the final name. The actual name of the browser right now is Project Spartan because it's the beta. It's the project name. They may change the official name.
Yeah.
Remember, the Internet Explorer was originally called Project. We don't know what the hell we're doing.
And they still don't.
But let's have a web browser. What the hell?
We have to do something if Netscape is making too much money.
Yeah, exactly.
.com.
Yeah.
.com. there is a Windows 10 technical preview out, of course. If you've got enough memory in your system, you can load it as in a virtual box and go play with it. If you've got an old machine, you can put it on and play with it. The problem with having it on as an old machine, of course, is that it's going to be very slow.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are playing with it. A lot of people are saying nice things about it.
I wonder how much they're being paid.
Not necessarily. Some people, you know, the good thing about it is that the start menu there is really kind of incorporated. No, the tile interface mm-hmm. front end is incorporated into the old start menu. So.
And you can choose whether you want tablet mode and touchscreen or desktop mode.
Yeah.
And if they had just done that in Windows 8, people wouldn't have complained so
people
much.
People wouldn't have complained at all. And if people had known that there's a place you can actually go and say, I don't want to see that start page. I just want to go to the desktop.
Yeah.
That, you know, people, there would have been so few. Because the reality is that Windows 8.1 is actually a pretty good product. It runs really, really well. But people don't like having things forced on them that they don't want. And being able
different.
To say, don't give me that stupid start thing and don't give me that stupid I have to have a touchscreen would have gone a long way. You're absolutely right. It's exactly right. All right. That music tells me we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. Call earlier next week, please. We're done for another week, but don't go away because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week, and Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow, so I think there's no real fear that George is going to get crazy again. We know how he is. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. So for Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites, and this is the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week. Thanks.